This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
Oh, hey, Charlie!
I ran into Charlie Fineman today.
Really? How is he?
Hey, Charlie, it's Alan, man.
We know each other?
Are you kidding me?
Who's Charlie Fineman, Daddy?
He was my college roommate. I haven't talked to him in a long time.
We were college roommates?
Yeah, you slept naked most nights. And you were a sleepwalker. It was the worst 2 years of my life.
He lost his whole family in a plane crash. He's lost now.
Charlie Fineman for Dr. Johnson.
You don't have an appointment, sir?
Oh, we're friends. We were college roommates.
And?
I used to sleep in the nude.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. It's been a while. I do apologize, everyone. I've had some things going on in my life, and, you know, as it is for all of us, I needed a breather, so here I am. But I'm back. Welcome. If you guys heard the opening there, you may have guessed what this movie is today, and it is Rain on Me.
Rain
Over.
Over.
Over. See, look, I'm already like my parents, screwing up what it's called. What's that movie called with that guy? But I have a great guest today. He's also a podcaster on the Social Podcast Network. His name is Devin. Devin, say hello.
What's up, everybody?
What's up? So I'm
hello,
so
hello.
Psyched to have you here.
Thank you.
We've met briefly. The first time I met you, I think I was kind of a bitch.
I wouldn't say it was.
I mean, we'll just be honest. I was having like a time crunch day and I came in and I don't know. I feel like I apologize.
No, you said sorry that day, but it was just like you said, a time crunch. And
yeah, I was
but
moody.
It's okay. Things
I was
happen.
I was a little moody, but and then I ran into you at Urban Float.
Mm-hmm.
As I was
going
for my float, which I need to go back and do. Shout out Urban Float. If you guys are local, Rehoboth Beach area, go check out Urban Float. But anyway, we connected and then I was like, come on my show, and you picked this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want, before we do that, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit for my listeners?
Sure. So my name is Devin Canfield. I am a musician and I podcast as well. We are both in the same podcast network, which is based out of Milton, but kind of structured around the Rehoboth area and kind of like Delaware Beach area. And I'm a musician, songwriter, producer. Kind of dabbling in the world of sound and like audio engineering now. And I had like two really good friends who kind of, I would say were like mentors who are actually my age and younger, but really mentored me in the world of audio engineering. And I kind of been discovering that that's like a major passion, because like writing music is one thing, but actually putting it down and creating it, recording it and all that is an art form in itself. So shout out to Harris and Andy. They, throughout my life, I would call them all the time and just bug the hell out of them, you know, 12 o'clock at night, or, you know, just like, hey, like, what do I do with this, or how do I do this, or what, you know, how did you do this, and, you know, they were really gracious and have been supportive, so been playing music around here. Music is my primary mode of transportation through this life, I would say.
That's awesome.
And it's funny, too, because movies... I've never been good with movies.
Oh, really? I know. I think I asked you and you were kind of like, I don't even really watch movies or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I think it's more of like an attention. I wouldn't even say like an intention, attention thing. Because last night I went and saw Kong vs. Godzilla. And I hadn't been to the movie. I haven't been to the movies in forever.
Wow.
And it was amazing.
What a choice that you made there.
It was amazing.
Did you love it?
It was so good.
Hold on. Did you love the movie or just the experience of the movie theater?
A little bit of both.
Okay. Because I love the experience of the movie theater, which right. All of you guys know if you're listening to me. You've heard me say it so many times. Please go to movie theaters, everyone. Support movie theaters. I don't know what's going to happen across this country with movie theaters, but the second you can go, don't be scared. Put your mask on. Go sit in the seat. Check out a big screen movie. It's definitely a different experience than sitting in your house watching Hulu or something.
Well, even to that point, like, mm-hmm. when I was watching that movie, like, and you hear it over a sound system like that, I was like, holy shit, this is insane. Like, once, now that I've kind of dove into the world of audio engineering and actually mixing and everything like that, seeing that movie really was like a pleasure to watch, and just to think like how people made that movie is just crazy. And but it was, you know, if we're like really diving into it, the storyline maybe could have been, it just, I wouldn't even say it was corny, but it's
I'm
just
not
like
even gonna comment.
Yeah, like they did what they did, but yeah, they the tried. Special effects and the sound and everything was blowing my mind.
Cool.
It was nuts.
Yeah. So. Well, I love the movies, and I think that's why you go, you know?
Yeah.
Just to have an experience. And it is nuts today because everything is so doable. You know, like you said, a movie like that back in the old days, I'm sure it was over the top because they can do so much now. Special effects, sound. It's crazy. You don't even need people at all. You can just like make an entire movie without anybody. It's crazy.
Yeah, like YouTube channels, you know, people who make like little shorts, like short films. And yeah, it was really cool. And it definitely, they had like reclining chairs and stuff, and like heated reclining chairs.
Wait, where'd you go? Did you go up in Ocean City?
Milford. So, yeah.
Please tell me, am I missing out on a movie theater that I didn't know about?
Yeah, Milford 9.
Oh.
Yeah, like really, really nice reclining chairs and heated seats.
Shout out, Milford 9.
Yeah.
Nice.
The place is kind of creepy. It kind of looks like a vacant building right now.
I kind of like that.
I don't know. I would say
I
you
might have
to
go on a journey now to go see this movie theater.
Yeah, it was cool. And it was really cool. But before that movie, I don't know the last time it was in the movies. But no, I've never been a big movie person. More so just because music takes up all of my attention and everything. But when you would ask me, like, movies and what I thought, like, I was torn between, because like I love The Departed.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love that movie.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
That blew my mind the first time I saw it, because that with the ending, I won't spoil for people. And then Shutter Island too.
Oh, so you like Leonardo too?
I was
too.
Gonna say, like, but even like The Departed had so many good people.
Yes, it did.
It was insane. But Shutter Island really blew my mind, because it's like how they have those twists at the end.
It's great. It's visually a great movie for a Scorsese film. It's an odd Scorsese film, but I do like that one.
So what like for you, like what got you into movies? Because like when you watch a movie, do you like digest it?
Wow, you're asking me questions.
Yeah, like do you?
No one ever asks me questions, actually. This is a first.
Well, I'm curious because like if you're saying like, oh, the Scorsese, like the production, you could see like the visual timbre of the
Well, I mean, like I can answer that really easily. I mean, I've always been into visuals, and art was early for me in life, drawing and painting, and then photography came into my world around middle school. And I always loved movies, and I think you can relate to this probably, and I always talk about this with movies and or any kind of form of art. The reason movies really spoke to me is because they're stories. And I think I would imagine as a guest that some of the reason you love music is because it is storytelling. You know, when you listen to a song, sometimes it's a story. And movies are the same thing for me. So movies were a lot of things for me growing up. I love storytelling. I wasn't a big reader. So that's, I think, what happened is I've gravitated more to movies than I did to books. And I saw movies as this window into other people's perspectives. So when I watch a film, I know I'm watching actors, but what I'm really looking at is the story. It's kind of like the key thing for me most of the time. And I'm really moved by stories. So the reason I also came up with this podcast was I do think that just like if I were to say, what's your favorite song? Or for an artist, like what's their favorite artist or their favorite poet or if they have one, even if what's your favorite color, right? Because it's kind of like what speaks to you and why does it speak to you? And so I'm just kind of using the format of film to do that. So I always say, even if people don't have a big love of movies, there's probably a movie they've seen that had some kind of effect on them. And if they don't, we just kind of come up with something, but around a theme of something. So I'm curious, you did pick this movie and it might've just been a random that you just had seen it before and you just thought of it. Did this movie have like a, did it connect to you in any way? The story of it?
For sure.
Okay.
Now, that movie definitely is not like a random one. Like I used to have that movie poster in my bedroom.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that movie's intense. And for, I guess, for people listening, Rain Over Me is a movie with Adam Sandler and Don Cheadle and Steven Tyler's daughter.
Oh, my God. Ione Skye. Let's not even get started.
No. Is that her name?
Isn't that her? Oh, no. I'm thinking of someone else.
Liv
Sorry.
Taylor.
Liv Tyler. Liv Tyler. God, her and Ione look very familiar to me. I don't know if you know who she is.
Mm-mm.
She was married to one of the Beastie Boys.
Okay.
She's the cheese and I'm the macaroni.
What's her name?
Ione Skye.
That's an awesome name.
Have you seen Say Anything?
Mm-mm.
She's in that. You got to see Say Anything. All right. Well, I will get you just kind of segued in, but I usually do this anyway. So I'm going to tell you guys the kind of facts of this film, or the statistics, as I say, the stats. So this movie is 2007, Rain Over Me, directed by Mike Binder, written by Mike Binder. Is his name Binder?
That I'm not sure.
Binder?
We can go with either.
Let's spell it out. B-I-N-D-E-R.
I'm going to say Binder.
Binder. Okay. Adam Sandler, as you said. Don Cheadle. Jada Pinkett Smith. I need to go to the full cast and crew because there are no ugly women in this movie. Can I just say that right off the bat?
You know who else is in it? Ryan from The Office.
Oh, right. You're right. He is in it.
For a brief.
He is in it. Yeah, you're right. And Liv Tyler and Saffron Burroughs, who plays, you know, the beautiful woman who wants to give Don Cheadle's character service.
Yeah.
Service him in the dentist office. We've also got like a strange random cameo by Donald Sutherland in the end. Robert Klein. There's a lot of actually really great people in this movie. So many people. But those, I think, are the headliners are Adam Sandler, Don Cheadle. And what else can I tell you about this movie? Let's see. I think that's really all you need to know.
Filmed in Manhattan.
Filmed in Manhattan. I'm going to read the brief description if you guys are wondering. A man who lost his family in the September 11th attack on New York City runs into his old college roommate. Rekindling the friendship is the one thing that appears able to help the man recover from his grief. Okay. I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah. Well, I think like I remember my parents watching it at one point, and like it's based on, like, wow, I don't even really know where to start, so bear with me.
That's okay.
I think one thing was crazy is because it's like I realized it was like a serious role Adam Sandler was playing.
Right, true.
Like really, really serious.
Yeah, and it might have been actually, I think you're right, one of the first, because he's played some serious roles. Mm-hmm. I remember he did a movie called Punchline that really blew me away. And then recently he was in that movie.
With the Uncut Gems or
something? Uncut Gems, which I have a love, kind of liked, kind of hated at the same time. I don't know why, but he's a great actor. He's an excellent actor, and I think I love when I see people that are kind of typically known to do comedy to transition into a serious role. Kind of reminds me of Jim Carrey, who also has done that over the years. But go ahead.
No, and I think I was captivated by, like, holy shit. Like, this guy is really encompassing a character and a situation and a life experience beyond anything I could have expected. And, like, I think that drew me in and, like, really made me relate to the guy. Like, I've never experienced that, what he's going through. But in the movie, you know, he has, like, these emotional outbursts, like, these trauma responses, obviously. But, you know, he's so tied to music. And I think the music soundtrack really, like, pulled on my heartstrings because, like, Bruce Springsteen is, you know, the pinnacle of my genetic code. Like
really?
My parents named me after his son.
Get out.
Like, his son's name is Evan James, so they went with Devin.
That's
James,
so interesting. Wow.
Which is, so my parents are, I mean, hardcore fans, but, you know, like, that music was, like I say, probably a pinnacle genetic code within myself. So hearing the music, and Adam Sandler's a big Bruce fan, and so I think like when my parents watched it, they were like, oh, there's Bruce scenes in it. Like, in one scene, Don Cheadle and Adam Sandler are jamming to Out in the Street, and Adam Sandler is like obsessed with like two albums. He's obsessed with The River, Bruce's album, and Quadrophenia by The Who. So immediately I was just like, I feel like this guy without the sense of grief and losing somebody.
Okay.
But the emotional obstacles and everything like he would face and how he would divert to the music really was like, wow. Like I feel that for sure. Like just everything, the scenes when it starts and he's like on the scooter, just like going around New York City. And like we grew up in Jersey, 40 minutes from Manhattan.
Did you go there a lot?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. When I think about it now, yeah. We would go in there a good bit just for fun.
Because
like I said, without traffic, it's like 40 minutes, 45 minutes. So, you know, my friends and I or whatever, you know, we go and spend the day or spend the night. Like my aunt always took us there. And it was a blast. But I loved like in the beginning scene, like if we really dissect it, it's like it's just the music that's played. And him like... It's like an upward perspective. Like a lot of the times it's like showing just him on the bike. It's not like a bird's eye view. And I just thought that was really cool. Like it was so based around the music and he's always wearing his headphones, like in his own little world. And it makes me just kind of think like, man, I think they were trying to portray, you know, I just feel like I know that sense of just like putting on headphones and going into that world in the midst of the giant mecca capital city, or like the greatest city in the world. Here's this guy, you know, completely lost in his own thing. And like that whole premise was more like, wow, like I feel that way sometimes just in life in general, honestly.
In what way do you feel like kind of to yourself, like like alone in the crowd kind of feel?
Well, I don't know if it's that. It's just I think I don't even really know, but I just think more so like being really in tune with like as a musician. And I think like the job of a songwriter is really like multifaceted, but like you have to kind of artistically express like the human condition in a way to help people navigate through things. So like I feel it's part of my job to really like experience things in life and then try to coordinate them into some sort of art form to hopefully relate with people. But I think it comes with the ingredient of feeling things a lot, like having high, like being an extremely emotional, emotional person. And that in the movie was very clear that this guy, like the one scene when he's like, he finally opens up to Don Cheadle, and like I've had to have those moments with friends, I think.
Oh really?
Like where you like break down and you're just kind of like, you really sit there. And I'm telling you, like something about that movie is just like, oh my god, I think because there's been trauma situations within my family, and like I've experienced that in different ways. But you know, even in that scene when he's, you know, breaking down finally, and he just really tells him after all, like even after all of that, and I'm kind of spoiling some stuff here, but
we're gonna spoil. It's okay. We're gonna jump around. Sometimes I'll walk through the scenes a little bit, but I like where I think this is also just a free flow. So
yeah,
and if that's what's coming up for you, then talk about it. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, they're almost like forcing him into therapy and like going through like psychological experiences myself with therapy and really diving into that world of mental health. They're like forcing him to get therapy.
That was a little hard for me, I have to admit.
In what way?
I mean, and I can share my perspective. I've shared on here before, I am in a Al-Anon program. And anybody who's whatever, let's just go there. You know, there are a lot of triggers in this movie for me around helping. Which it was very... Oh, hello. Is that you or me? Like heard some weird ringing. What do you want? Sorry. I'm always like looking up in the universe going, what are you trying to say to me? I guess just what was interesting, which the part of this that made it okay for me was Adam Sandler's or his character's name is Charlie.
Yeah.
Charlie's response and resistance to people trying to help, because the trouble with helping is that you sometimes shouldn't be. And I think for people that have had experiences like I have, when you see a suffering person, you may overstep, and then it becomes about fixing and saving. And fixing and saving sometimes isn't really helpful to people. It's actually stepping in the way of what they need to do for themselves. So it's a fine line. And so I was watching that play out a little bit in the movie, which was the duality of these two characters. And it was an interesting movie for me to watch, because a lot of times we have a protagonist and you're just kind of with that one person's story. This movie had like very clearly two main people, kind of. Like, I know we're kind of with Don Cheadle's character the whole time. It's his story, kind of, even though it's also Adam Sandler's Charlie's story. But there was that duality of Alan, Don's character, who has to, like, grapple with his desire to want this person to be better and how he's going to handle that. And I think you watch him struggle with that choice of, like, kind of, like, overstepping bounds and then pulling back and then trying to find the middle between the two. You also are watching Adam Sandler's character, Charlie, grapple with the fact that he's become very isolated in his life, and his only coping mechanism for this trauma is to kind of shut down. And he's kind of decided to build this wall around himself, of just music. You know, he's cut everybody out, and somehow the appearance of Alan's character kind of shifts him a bit, where he's able to kind of step out of it for a moment. And then that is what starts the whole movie, is that there's this connection and the fact that Alan won't walk away. You know, he takes a lot of bullshit from him in the beginning, quite a bit, actually. Mm-hmm. And but he persists. So it's in the end, it works out to be a great thing. But I do think at least the movie does show how difficult that is when you want to help a person and you're not really sure how much you should be stepping in. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, or if you relate to what I'm saying.
I do.
Yeah. And I liked that piece of the story, and I did think it was kind of comical to me at times how angry he would get. I almost was like, whoa, man, if that guy tore up an office, I don't think they would let him fucking sit there. Right. Like, he was really violent. I mean, he would like really throw some shit around. And, but then you go look at what happened to him. Right. So like, I don't know. I mean, it was weird to me that he also, they didn't let you know too much of the story of what help he had received previous to this, that he decided to not have any anymore. What did you think of all that?
Well, going back to that point, like when he's, like the moment when he finally like opens up, where they're like pushing him, which again, I agree with everything you just said, but I just love the fact that like after everything, like he opened up to Alan, Don Cheadle's character, you know, after, like that just was that scene. Like I remember makes you cry. 'Cause you're just like, oh my God, you know, like the way that he was able to like emote that, but yeah, obviously, like they're portraying someone with like heavy, heavy traumatic stress, and those angry outbursts. In a way, like I used to have angry outbursts, so it's like, you know, that's something I think I've definitely curbed, you know, to say the least. But to your point, yes, like it's a great. I love, even still, now more than ever, I think they did a great job at representing, you know, like I even find myself, you know, I have a tendency to want to help or, you know, step in where I probably shouldn't. But they did an amazing job of showing the complex nature of that whole type of situation. And like you said, you do have like a main character in Don Cheadle too, where, you know, it was just such an interesting way they were able to get that done. Because then there even is the side where, you know, he has troubles with his wife, Don Cheadle does. And that's a whole nother story where, I don't know how to really explain it in that sense. But I think the music played a big part in it for me, too, really. But they just portray so many senses of, like you said, his isolation, the constantly changing things, which at the end of the day was, you know, I think, like, again, a trauma response, because he's thinking about his wife when they say, he's like, take your shoes off, you know, before you get into the house. Yeah. And then you learn that it's like, oh, he says that because his wife would say that. Mm-hmm. And he keeps trying to renovate the kitchen how he thinks his wife would want it, yet he lives in, like, this dark and plays that video game. And obviously you can just see that this man is, you know, like, in pain. Mm-hmm. And, like, even at the end when the woman who was trying to do the deed to Don Cheadle, you know, she even says, like, wow, like, can't they just see, like, this man is just kind of, like, broken?
Yeah,
and
he's finally a broken heart.
He, like, acknowledges that, and just fucking, I don't know, it's some moving stuff. And it's the thing is, though, like, it's a real situation, I feel. Like, that's some real stuff. Like, there's that
great,
stuff happens.
Yeah, and there's great themes in this movie. I mean, I will admit there were parts, I'm such a movie buff that I was like, can we move this thing along? It's so funny because I was like, there's a lot of time spent, but I was happy to sit with it.
You mean you feel like it was slow almost?
Because I can get that. There was something missing, like a tiny bit, because it felt like there was something with the filmmaking that wasn't complementing the acting.
Okay.
It was kind of like the acting was so great and there was something about the way it was pieced together. Maybe it was an editing issue for me. I don't know. Who am I, guys?
Well, no,
this is just my take. But go ahead.
No, I kind of want to hear more about like what you're saying.
I feel like it. I don't know exactly. I can't even. I have to like almost rewatch it to give it a real answer of why I think this. But there was something a little bit missing that made me step out of it. Like I always say to people, like a movie's amazing if you never step out of it mentally. Mm-hmm. It's just a simple fact. Like if you go into a movie and the entire time you're just completely engrossed where it's like, where I don't even start doing this thing that I do. I'm sure you do this with music, right? Like if you listen to a song and then you start going like, oh wait, well I can hear that this is what he did with this sound. And then there's this. And then you start picking it apart. If the song is great or if the movie is great, I'm not doing any of that. I'm literally just fully into the story. I'm fully in. But if I start going like, I don't know the scene. Why did they shoot it like that? Like, why is it this way? Like, if I start technically picking it apart, mm-hmm. then I'm like, I'm pulling myself out of it, which means I'm not completely just in. I don't know how to explain it. You guys probably know what I'm talking about. It's just something that happens with really great movies. They just perfectly pull you in and you're just with it the entire time. But aside from that, I thought it was a great story. Like I said, I think I have personal triggers around this kind of story because I have been a fixer and saver in my life a lot. And I've seen the trouble with that. And I also have seen not so positive results. Like this is a story where in the end, everybody's efforts seem to help. I've seen the opposite of that. So it's a movie, right? So I know people that have had the opposite of this. So it's kind of a tough... it's a tough one for me when people are sacrificing themselves to help other people. And I think that they do show with Alan's character, how he is grappling with that with his home life. When you talk about his family, that he's spending more and more time with him and he's not calling and he's not coming home. And other people are like, what the fuck? Like, where are you? Why are you this guy? Like, what's going on? But he becomes so wrapped up in it that he doesn't even start to notice at first how much he's dissing his family or not paying attention to things. But then as it goes on, he does kind of learn to back off. A pivotal moment for me in this movie is when he is great scene. Actually, can I just bring up one of my favorite scenes?
Yeah, of course.
Is when he tries to fake, like bring a therapist like to meet him in the record store, which was hilarious to me.
And then he realizes that that's the case and he's like, fuck you, basically.
And I knew right away that he knew that that guy wasn't a real guy. I was like, just the way he picked up the record. Yeah, I'm out for my, because I'm a vinyl fan and I get records and I'm like watching this whole thing go down and I'm like, this is such a setup. And then when they get to the diner or the restaurant, the way that he hands him his ass is my favorite. I swear to God, I was loving that scene. I was like, this is the best scene ever. I was like, that guy just totally like called him on all of his shit. It was so great.
Over Bob Seger too. He's like, yeah, you think you're a fucking Bob Seger fan? He's like, you're a fucking shrink. Like, And that's what's so great is
shrink
like
shrink wrap. Yeah. I love it. I love that whole scene. It's such a great scene. But go ahead, yeah.
No, but it goes back. Like I said, I think the primary thing was like again the music. I was like, again, all the music that you know was really relative in my life. You know how Adam Sandler, because I think he's from New York, or he's from like
I do not know, but I would guess maybe. Yeah,
I think he's like
maybe. Should we look him up?
Yeah, because, you know, like, again, he's big Bruce guy and, you know, tied in with a lot of that type of that music. And, you know, when he would like, it's almost like Adam Sandler used parts of his life, too, and incorporated it into that character.
He's from Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So when he was, you know, like, calling that guy on his bluff over Bob Seger, I was just like, this is fucking awesome.
There's a great. There's a lot of great scenes for him in the movie.
And like he's playing the drums all the time, like because he's a great musician too.
Yeah.
Like really, really good musician, and he's you know performing live at some pretty you know, like the when they're playing one of the clubs in Manhattan, that's pretty popular. And then, you know, one thing that's interesting too is how Don Cheadle's character like loses his father, and then you see like how they share like Charlie and Alan share that kind of experience and kind of seeing both of their reactions to it in a way. And like I said, when he shows up at the house and he's like, I got you this. And he gives him two records and he's just like, thanks, man. Like, like, you know, and then they're sitting at the funeral procession. He's sitting there, you know, with his headphones on, just like. And I'm spoiling everything, but you know,
well, no, that's
if it's compelling to someone.
Listen,
like,
you got to watch it before you get here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
exactly.
What I tell people. Yeah, I mean, and it's so funny because, yeah, like you're such a music person, you were really tapped into it. I sort of paid attention to it, but I was way more. It connected to me in a different way than it did to you, which is why this is so interesting to me. Just because of my own experience, because we bring our experience into our viewing, you know, of anything, whether it's art, music, you're bringing your experience into listening, into watching, and then that hits you differently. You know, I might listen to a song and it has a whole story for me that it won't have for you based on your life experience. Same thing with a movie like this for me. I wonder how this would have affected me 20 years ago.
In what way? Like, what do you mean?
Previous to all the things I've experienced since then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would. I don't think I would have noticed any of that. Mm-hmm. The stuff I was just talking about, the helping and the fixing. I don't know if I would have tapped into it in the same way that I am now because of my actual life experience. So life experience plays a lot in terms of how we receive a form of art or a story. What else for you? Is there any other things that you can think of that just resonated with you that were in the film?
Well,
personally, maybe, if you're willing to share.
No, I'm willing to share. You know, it's almost like a little too simple, I guess, in a way, you know. Mm. And I mean, if I really think about it and I really try to maybe dig a little deeper. You know, I think it's around that fact of personally like experiencing traumatic situations. You know, I'm pretty, what's the word? Mental health is really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or you know what I mean? And anything that tries to portray that can be tricky. And I think they did a really good job at kind of bringing to life a complex situation like that. And but it goes back to where I think like I've experienced things in the way maybe more. It's funny because I think I personally have experienced those situations more along the lines of Don Cheadle's character.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Like if I think about externally, I would lean more towards that character, but internally, I would feel like Adam Sandler's character.
Okay, so you were connecting to both. I mean, I don't want to get too personal, but
sure.
When you say trauma, like, have you had trauma in your life? Because you did say early on you can relate to outbursts like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to share.
Sure.
But I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
because, you know, I don't know, you know, Tara has a trauma podcast. Guys, if you're listening, listen to the Be Soulfish podcast, or isn't that what she calls it? I'm like blanking right now. Sorry, Tara. but she does a whole, yeah, her whole thing is about trauma. And I've been on her show. And the thing is, we all have trauma, right? I mean, I don't know. Some people more than others. It's a tricky word, but I think mm-hmm. there's levels of it for people. So is there something around that that you can, that you would, that you want to share, or just
anything? Mean, I think a lot of the things I try to talk about are more so from experience, but then a lot of years spent in like clinical practices, you know, a lot of time spent with professionals, psychologists, psychiatrists, mm-hmm. Things along those lines. And I think, I mean, what it really boils down to is like within close family units, there was a lot of traumatic deaths.
Okay.
That, and substance abuse, mm-hmm. where, I mean, transparently, where it wasn't until I really started getting clinical work done and professional work, and they started kind of peeling me like an onion, mm-hmm. you know? And
I do.
They like, those things become where it's like, again, it's almost like it's hard to sum up in a conversation simply to sit at, you know, sit in a podcast, or a listener hears and, you know, they could be like, oh, well, they said this and that. It's that. Like, no, it's extremely, extremely complex. And I think that this movie shows the extreme complexity. Like you said, those angry outbursts, this and that, that get portrayed in the movie is from an extremely complex situation. So, I think we think of the word trauma as in like, or if you think like PTSD, you mm-hmm. think of like people who have been to war. But I think there's a lot of newer research that's being done by psychologists and people like Joe Dispenza. He's a
I know Joe,
Dr. Joe Dispenza. Like, yes. His work is pretty incredible, and mm-hmm. the word trauma can more so be like a learned reaction to a very, very a strong charge, you know, emotional charge from something that can almost be stored within your physiology. And it wasn't until like dealing with anxiety and depression and panic disorders and things like that, extreme social anxiety, being exposed to addictions and things like that, even myself realizing that like, wow, like I have tendencies of an addict, but not mm-hmm. in the sense of substance abuse, more emotional side of things. But I think that it wasn't until I went into the world of professional psychological treatment that I realized that, wow, like that stuff plays a huge, huge impact on your perception of things and your ability to do things in the world. And it's not an excuse. And I think getting help is super, super important. I feel like I'm kind of weaving around a lot of different things
right
now. No,
it's, you're good.
But I think, you know, if you try and you have the conscious choice to try and you actually like want to improve, then that stuff can happen. And I just think, again, this movie really kind of shows a journey through that. But like it's, for me, my more so thing was like seeing other people within your unit that experience the trauma.
Okay.
And then it's almost like you said, I realize within myself, like either saving or fixing or trying to help or whatever comes from, not comes from, but just you sit back and you, when you experience those types of things and see it, you kind of take it on as part of yourself in a way.
Well, it's right. Your identity gets wrapped up in things like this. I mean, I could talk about 8 million things around this because it's just so tricky, like you said. For me, watching his character of Charlie, it's obvious that, I mean, this is such an enormous loss. This movie is so much about loss and grief and just,
But I'm going to cut you off real
please
quick.
Please do.
And I think the cool thing, like the subtlety, it was like, it's almost like you didn't really realize that that was the main thing that happens until a little further in. And then I loved when it all kind of came to a head and they were like, you're like, holy shit. Like, anyway.
No, it's true. And I think that what I know about a little bit about this stuff is it causes people to react in all sorts of ways. If something is too large for our minds and our emotional bodies to handle, our bodies will quickly do whatever it needs to do mentally and physically to cope with that situation. And so when you see him, to me, when I see, because I kind of knew the story from the preview, so I know going into it that this guy's had a tremendous loss and this is the only way he knows how to handle this, is to like shut everybody that's related to what happened out, create a whole new existence sort of for himself. And in the beginning, he literally doesn't remember. It's almost like he doesn't want to know who those people are anymore. And he gets very upset when people bring them up. Because for him, and to me, I just know this stuff too because I was saying it. I've been married to a therapist for many, many years. And I've also been to therapy for many, many years. So I do know a lot about this stuff. But basically, that's what people do. And people, whatever it is for you is whatever it is for you. So some people might be capable of going to therapy right away and very willing, because it does require quite a bit of willingness to actually do therapy and make it and have it help you. The story with him, to me, was that it was so traumatic. This was his only way of coping, and it's working for him for a bit. It's working kind of, even though other people might look at it and be like, that's weird, this isn't really great. He's not talking to anybody in his family or whoever's left, and he's just living this way. In his mind, it's working. He's safe. It's just a way to create safety. Anything that we do around trauma is just, in my opinion, to create safety. So this kept him safe. And your key thing that you keep bringing up with the music is it was such a safety thing for him. I mean, anything that was even little but triggering for him, the headphones go on. It's like music became his, like, you know, his safe house. And so that's the response. That's the trauma response, is like, put the music on.
But I think it was crazy too, because it almost also in a way was like the hindrance.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's the funny thing too, is like, that was because if you think about it in the world of, you know, him, if he we're just now making stuff up, like, it's not like he was, you know, seeking the help naturally and then using music at the same time. Like,
right,
the music was also in a way like the major hindrance of almost like avoiding. And the thing too, in the movie, you end up finding out that he has a lot of money, so he has the kind of freedom. And you see, like, when he's like so hooked on that video game, like, he's kind of free in a way, but still in this dark room, just like in this world of his own. But I think it's very, very interesting that it goes to show too, like, if you do dig a little deeper, that the music, like you said, you know, he's triggered, he throws on his headphones, but that's also, you know, he gets to avoid and hide, and, you know, something that's so dear. It's just, I think that is a common thing too, like the duality of these types of situations, where it comes with a lot of having to have conscious awareness sometimes, where it's like, you know, we have those things we can just hide in really quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, we all do. I don't say these things and exclude myself. I'm just saying that it's
I can say the same thing. Sorry, I'm cutting you off.
No, I just, I said the wrong word, but, yeah, just very compelling. And you know, you'll always judge a situation until it actually happens to you, you know?
Totally.
And then I think, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, things pull you in certain directions based upon your experiences. And I think anyone, legitimately anybody who knows anyone who's been through some fucked up shit, or themselves have, they could watch that movie and be like, oh, yeah, I can relate to that in some sense. Because at the same time, it is kind of slow at points.
It's okay, though.
It's something where...
I forgive it.
Yeah, it's something where, like, if I was sitting watching it by myself, I could be cool. But, you know, if someone... I was watching it with someone else, I'd be like, all right, just be prepared. Like, it can be kind of slow, you know? So, I don't know.
No, it's cool, though. I mean, and I... Listen, the more I'm talking about this movie, the more I'm, like, really liking it more and more. Because of the things that are so representative of, like, there's a lot of realness in this movie, like you said. Even though it's a fictional story, and I'll share a little personal thing for me through my own experiences. And I've isolated in my life. Like, I didn't do it this way, and I didn't have this kind of trauma by a million, but I definitely can shut down. And I have been in periods in my life where I didn't talk to people, and I just really went into a hole. And one thing I've learned over the years through recovery and through a lot of other things is how damaging it is to isolate. And I think one of the key things that also struck me in this movie that I could relate to, which I also think is true, is that that we need people. It doesn't have to be a therapist. I think the pivotal point, which is the beginning of this movie, is that Don's character, Alan, does notice him on the street, or, you know, he sees him and he's like, I know that guy. And then suddenly he interacts with him, and for whatever reason, you know, Alan or Charlie seems to respond to his character, respond to him. He kind of comes out of it and he's like, oh. It takes a minute. I forget exactly how many times
it
takes.
Take time.
It takes a minute, but it is pivotal because it just shows you that it did take another person to break him out of himself for a minute and kind of open himself up. And so that's kind of the start of that. And then as the movie goes on, with the ups and downs of Alan trying to kind of help him along and then pulling back and then trying different tactics and then trying to just be, in the end, to me, this is such a message of support. It's kind of like, just be with people, you know? You don't have to do anything, actually. You don't have to say and tell them what to do. You don't have to fix them. Just kind of be there. And, like, who knows what could happen? And that's kind of, to me, why that scene happens, to be honest with you. The scenes with the when he finally opens up, the scenes with the therapist are so interesting. And I wonder, like, I kind of was like, would that happen? But it doesn't matter. It's a movie. So that she just allows him to do that every time. Which is the same thing. It's like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you what to do. I'm just going to sit here with you and maybe, like, you know, have a few questions or whatever. And when it's over, it's over. But then he comes back and he comes back and he comes back. And the same thing with Alan is Alan learns to just be there and stop trying to push any agenda on him. He just kind of is like, I'm here then. Okay. And then I think that's what helps all of us. Like, I've noticed for me, I went from having very little people in my life to having an abundance of people in my life now. And most of those people weren't giving me advice. The closest friendships I have now are people that don't give me advice. It's people that just literally hang out with me. And, like, we just are in it with each other. And that's it. And there's something so great about support. And I think that word is confusing sometimes for people. Like, what is support? How do you support people? How do you be there for people? It's an interesting question. I think this movie does a good job of showing it. Because then in the end, he's got, you know, how many more people around him than he did when he started. It's kind of like, wow, okay. And even in that one scene, I mean, the girl Donna comes in with the pizza and she just sits there. There's a lot of just like, all right, you know, I'm just going to be here. And I can imagine that's probably what would happen with somebody who's very traumatized, who is very much a danger to themselves. Like, you have to be really careful around people like that, I would imagine. I mean, that scene on the street, too, is really upsetting. That's a hard scene for me.
With the cops?
When he tries to, like, basically get a cop to shoot him because he can't kill himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so sad. I mean, I was just like, and I can understand it completely. Right? I mean, how can you not? I mean, his life is just so hard to live. It's like, I can't even imagine being alive knowing all of these people in my family are completely gone. I mean, it's like his whole life gets wiped out. It's like, I mean, I know usually when there's stuff like that happens, they put people in an institution. They have to, like, put them on a hold because they will probably kill themselves within a day when stuff like that happens. So it's too much. It's too much for a human being to handle. It's a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of shocking that he can even function. That's the first thought I had. I was like, the fact that he can even live alone like this is like, is pretty amazing for somebody with that kind of trauma, right? Yeah.
But you wonder too if like it was like symbolism that he's like, because there was like in that scene when he's on the when he's going into the street to, like you said, he has a couple drinks and he's trying to get killed, essentially. They finally kind of show like him having literal flashbacks. And it makes me think, you know, like that must, in a way, there are those type of cases out there where it's that extreme. Like that's probably what it's like. You know, he's reliving them legitimately being there and like thinking about that. And it shows the contrast where like when they were there, like he's clean cut, you know, suit and tie. They show that like he was not like that. You know, he was, I think in dental practice, like what's his face. But he was, the house was bright and filled with his family. And like, he's going in the room, like looking, and he sees her, and then it's actually not the case. And it's those type of little nuances where, you know, you just think where for the same thing myself, you know, you have someone, you have people in your family super close that have lost people in traumatic ways. And it's like, fuck, that must be somewhat what it must be like, maybe not to that degree. But yeah, that's tough to see. But I do think it's like, well, that shit definitely happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
That stuff definitely is going on.
You hear about it all the time. I mean, not all the time, but I can, it's funny. I have like weird flashes of stories I've heard that like really fucked me up. Like there was this is like dating myself, but I'll never forget. There was like an Oprah, back when Oprah was on all the time. And she would do these stories. She had a mother on, you know, it's stories like this, same kind of story where I think something happened where she fell asleep at the wheel. I don't even know. And her car went over a bridge. And her kids were in the... Everybody in the car died. All of her children. She was the only person that lived. And it was like, how do you live? Knowing that you're responsible, sort of. And everyone's dead. Like, stories like that, that's a rare story. But there are... people have experiences where they lose people in tragedies. And a lot of people at once sometimes. And that is just like... it's mind-blowing to me. Like, what would happen to you? And the danger of you wanting to instantly kill yourself because you don't feel like it's fair that you're here.
It's also a testament to where, you know, it's funny, you know, people might listen and they might be like, God, this movie sounds morbid as fuck.
Sorry, guys. We're going there.
But the thing is, too, it's also, I think, noteworthy to say that, like, there are avenues for overcoming, or how about like creating a new set of thought processes around that situation.
Yeah, that's good. Let's get positive because I'm making this really dark. Well, sorry, everyone.
No, I do think like as I'm sitting here like thinking about that, like it is because at the end of the movie, you know, like I said, sorry to break it to you guys, but you know, he agrees to help and there's
resolve. It's a good ending. It's a positive. And actually, I'm saying that Oprah story, but the reason the woman was on the show is because she has found a way to be living. Like she's a good ending to a horrible story because she's on the show talking about how she overcame this. And that was the reason why she was on the show, was because this is how people can overcome grief and loss and actually still be okay in some way.
Like almost examples that like, hey, it's possible, you know? And I think like when you turn, like, again, I think the thing is, like, you, and I never really realized it, is that, like, you have more of a choice in a way than you think you might. And, you know, to look to those people, you know, like, for example, I don't know, you look at musicians or someone you aspire to, you know, you hear what they do and you study, like, their journeys and, you know, and you're just like, fuck, like, I can do that too, maybe, or... you hear those stories like, hey, I went through this, and I think conversation is so important. And like right now, kind of I would say my team and I, that like I have a couple people who work alongside me with the music stuff, like we're working on a pretty big project right now to kind of emphasize that type of stuff, to say like, hey, like this is okay, or how do I say it? Maybe not okay, but it's like this happens, like you don't have to be like Charlie Flatman. If you need to be and you are in that place, that's what it is. But there are those avenues you can take to get help and really kind of you know, go along the healing journey. Because it's like, I don't think like healing is, I said it before, is like, I don't think it's like a destination where you're like, you take exit 19, it's on the left hand side, you park your car there, light up a joint, you're good to go. It's like, no, I think it's more of, you know, that's like a never ending type of thing.
I totally agree.
You know, it's just, I get it.
It's part of your, you know, for some people it's a harder go, but it's definitely part of the path.
And you know what? It's like, it's a lot of work, but I think when you strip away the idea, and again, that's just my hypothesis. Like if you sit there and you think like healing is a destination, I need to get here. And if I'm not here, then I'm not good. And it's kind of like, I don't know if that's necessarily true. Mm-mm. You know, like you can have the direction to point towards, and like Jordan Peterson, he is an author, mm-hmm. really, really amazing psychologist and writer. And he was almost saying like, that's kind of where, you know, to honor like the spiritual nature of stuff. And like, if you say like, yes, if there is some greater good that you can calibrate to, whether it's a religious or something.
My God, that's so weird.
That actually sounds pretty good.
It's actually jazz. It's Miles Davis, everyone.
On the note of Miles.
It's my ringtone, but I'm going to turn it off. I didn't know it was even connected.
That sounded awesome, though.
That's my ringtone.
but I'm also going to take that as a sign just to simply say that.
Thank you. I like that.
That there is legitimately, there's options out there. You know.
There are, and I mean, I not to get cheesy or quote, I mean, I don't even know who I'm quoting because I used to say this all the time, and I heard it in a yoga class one day. Thanks, yoga.
Thanks, yoga.
Thanks, yoga, for all you've done. But the quote is, the obstacles on the path are the path. So it's just that, and that's an easy thing to say to somebody, like a story like this, right? Like, okay, but there's a lot of truth in that for me personally. Like, that's kind of what I look at. I try to look at that and say, okay, it's not about, and like you said, a destination of getting beyond. I actually think being with is how you get beyond. I think you have to actually kind of be with all the things, all the uncomfortable things, for as long as you need to be with them until they move, knowing that like everything moves, feelings move, things move. You change. There's nothing literally without change. Actually, there is so much change that there is no halting anything. Because like every day we get older, every day there's movement, every day there's something. Even if you're sitting in your bed all day, there's movement around you. Like you can't literally stop it. So for me, that's like a huge reminder that healing only comes from discomfort. Change and growth only come from discomfort. It doesn't come from easy. We don't learn anything from nothing happening to us, right? So, and I think the trouble with this kind of stuff is, and this is a whole other, see, I'm taking us in such deep conversations today, but, you know, it's your identity. It's, you know, we build little worlds around who we decide we are, you know? So this guy goes from being a guy in college to, you know, a professional person, has a family. That's who he is. He's this guy with the family. And now he has no family. Who the fuck am I now? I'm not that guy with the family anymore. So now it's like an identity crisis on top of it. And he's got to redefine who he is. And so this is the person he came up with, you know? And it's kind of like, how many times do we have to do that, right? How many times do we have to re-identify ourselves and say, okay. And also like the lesson of, for me, is the really hard one is like to not get too attached to anything like that. Like where you are those things, but you are also so many more things than that. And you even see Don struggling with it. Man, dude, I used to do fun things. Like, you know, so he's this guy, right? So he's really struggling with his role of the person he's decided to be. Even his pivotal shift to me is when he goes from being kind of like, you know, he's taking all the shit from people in the office, even though it's like his
practice.
And then at the end, he's like, fuck this shit. I'm like, I'm done. You know, like he's going to take the reins. It's like he's realizing I've kind of wedged myself into this role that really is not what I want. And so now he's pulling himself out of it. And I think there's a comment in here, too, about that, which is who are you deciding to be? And how do you figure out who you are when the person you were is no longer? And I think that's what we're watching with him as well, which is not knowing who he is anymore. A little bit. I don't know. That's adding a whole other layer to this thing. But
I think you're 100% right. And I think that's, once again, why it's a very compelling movie is because he's got, quote unquote, it all. He's got the nice house in Manhattan, a successful dental practice. He's making good money.
Mm-hmm.
He's got clients that are coming in there, like I said, to do the deed to the guy, you know, and he's like, but, you know, I think I don't really have the credentials really right now to say like much of anything. Like my opinion can't really be like, you know, have much weight to it.
Well, this is just, I mean, we're just,
I know,
two
but
people.
Still, but I
we're just, we don't even know what we're talking about, everyone. I'm just kidding.
No, I think you know what you're talking about. Yeah. I think that, also that path is more frequent than not, you know, for, you know, like Don Cheadle's character to, like I said, got it all,
mm-hmm.
but it's apparent that that's just still not the case of fulfillment. And the thing too is, you think about it, like your college roommate, that's a big deal. Like, you know, college roommate, I basically had some college roommates. I didn't go to college, but again, that's kind of a long story, but like, you know, I have people I would consider and say like they were essentially like college roommates, you know, and those people, I mean, you're like even more so than high school. Like high school is one thing, you know. I know people who are still super, super tight with friends from high school, and mm-hmm. I am too. But college and college roommates, that's a big deal. Like those are.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm old. Hi, everyone. Welcome. I'm old. my life experience has taught me that as you get older, and this is why this, I think, felt so poignant to me about like the way that these two are connecting, is that you are hitting on something that is the power of connection at certain points in our lives. And there's something to be said for people that knew you when, and trust me, as you get a little bit older, it really matters. Like, you know, I meet new people all the time. I have lots of new friends and things, but there's nothing like the people that knew me when. And when I have moments in my life where I forget who I am, or I lose myself, or I question like, what happened here, man? Like, what's going on with me? Like, I can go back to somebody like that knew me when I was 20 and be like, dude, this is not who you are, man. Like, I know you. I've known you for 30 years. Like, this is what the hell, you know? So, like, it helps me have perspective on myself. To see me through the eyes of other people, it's, like, so powerful. Having real connection is so powerful, and really allowing people to see who you are, be vulnerable with others and let them in, and let you do the same for other people and have those connections, because as, like I said, it does make a world of difference in your life. And maybe it's just what I'm going through right now, but I definitely think that's why this movie's moving a bit, is there is that like, oh my God, yeah. You know, you knew me then, like, tell me, who was I? You even had, they have conversations like that. What else did I do? Like, what was I like, you know?
He used to sleep naked, and he was like, no. And then he almost like allows himself to remember that. He's like, yeah, man, like, yeah. Like,
yeah.
But that's what I mean. It's like, you wouldn't forget those things, you know, even if you drifted ways with a college roommate or something, mm-hmm. like you still, like, that's, you know, you live with that person, or that was, you know, an important, you know, little chapter. And, yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it? Like, there's a lot in this movie, guys. I got really, I don't even know if we even talked about the movie really at all. We just like literally talked about everything else.
No, I would say it's tied in. I mean, that could just be me. If people are listening, I think if you watch the movie, you'll kind of see where it all ties in with each other for sure. But
yeah. And it has, it does like hit every mark for like, I would love to see what Tara thinks of this movie now. And now that I know you a little bit, I feel like you're kind of a hard nut to crack. I feel like you've got layers in you, like, of just stuff. It's like, I want to sit for 5 hours with you. But you have to see Sound of Metal. Have you seen this movie?
No.
You're going to freak out over this movie.
Okay.
Because now that I'm just saying, like, I actually made Tara watch it. Tara, thank you. I might need to watch it again. It's such a great movie, and it's around sound. So if you like mm-hmm. sound design, Everyone, if you haven't heard that episode, please go back. It's actually kind of similar to this, not storyline, but it's a bit of a trauma movie. Interesting take on a small version of trauma, also hitting on recovery and a bunch of other, some similar topics of this movie. So maybe you could follow that. If you love this show, follow it.
Is to your point how you were saying kind of like about like the medium of just art in general, music, film, theater, podcasting, or anything like that. Like, if you have a movie that can kind of take you and, like, forget about your body for a little bit, like, there's times, like, if I'm making music and I'm recording, like, 5 hours will go by and I'm like, holy shit, like, I had no awareness of my body. Like, I had no awareness of being a human being, if that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense.
And that's, like, I think with movies, that can be so compelling. Like you said, a good movie. I don't know if this movie, honestly, is one that did that for me.
It didn't for me, but I think it's a great discussion piece, I guess I should say.
Yeah, correct, like a high school paper about it or something.
Probably. We just wrote a serious high school paper about it. Did I get an A? I don't know. Maybe.
I think so. I'd see. That's what I'm saying. Like, you could write some stuff about it, but yeah. Like I said before, I was hooked for Kong versus Godzilla though, like the whole time. I'm not gonna lie. And
listen,
like,
I love that you actually are making me maybe want to see it, which I did not want to see it, but you might actually get me to go see it now.
But I also like kind of like that stuff, like Godzilla and.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like me, because I like sci-fi, too, sometimes. Now, I used to hate sci-fi. A couple of things I like now. Westerns, no idea.
Oh,
hated Westerns my whole life.
Well, in the movie, they're watching Blazing Saddles.
Nice.
In Rain Over Me. They go to the movie theater.
Oh,
the
that's right. Yeah, that's right. They go to see that, and they do the Mel Brooks thing, too. Yeah, so I love Westerns now. I think because the point is it takes me out of my own reality. And anything that, like, sometimes I really need that, like something I can't relate to. Like, watching a movie like this makes me think a lot about my life in some way, because it's very real and it's very, like, it's something I can really relate to in terms of just the setting of it and the time and all the things. Godzilla and, you know, obviously I have no understanding. There's nothing in my world that would relate to that. So it's a complete escape when I watch a movie like that. Which is different.
It was so sick. It was so cool. Like I was literally like my heart was racing. Like the heated seat was already on. I was even sweating. Then I was sweating more once
they
started.
That's so funny.
And yeah, go check it out, people. Yeah.
But listen, check this movie out too. Thank you for making me watch it, or at least bring it up so that I could watch it, because I think it was actually a great film, and I didn't even. I wouldn't have got to witness Adam Sandler's performance, which I think was really amazing.
And
actually,
the thing is, too, like, everyone knows Adam Sandler, you know?
Totally.
And that's, I feel like, probably one of his least credited movies.
Probably
if
true,
If you rank that, like, what, like, Click is above that. All of his comedies
I
are
know,
definitely above that.
Yeah.
For sure. Even the shitty ones. Like,
totally.
I love all of Adam Sandler's movies.
I mean,
but there's one or
so
two.
He's so lovable. It's hard not to like Adam Sandler.
But that's got to be, if you asked a bunch of people, like, rank 10 Adam Sandler movies, I don't think a lot of people would know that movie.
I don't think many people know it at all.
He, like, genuinely kills it in that movie. Kills it, I mean does very well.
He kills it. Not himself, but he does kill the movie performance. Well, listen, thank you.
Thank you.
Please come back. I know you don't watch movies, but if...
I could find another one.
Yeah, if something else comes up, if you're looking for a movie buddy, I will take you. I get lots of recommends. I have many recommends if you ever feel like, and I will give you good ones. As I was mentioning, Sound of Metal. Please look it up. I think it's free on Amazon Prime. Fucking amazing movie. I think it should have been up for some awards, personally.
Is it new or older?
It's an indie movie this year. Past year, 2020.
You want to know something, and then I won't say anything else more.
What?
You want to know what movie freaked me out?
What?
I did see Midsommar.
Holy shit! Let's talk about that.
No, I don't want to. That movie.
That
was
movie's the most fucked up movie. Hereditary is the other guy, the other movie he made. That director. Have you seen that one?
No, but Midsommar.
Don't see it.
Skeeved me out.
If you didn't like that one, you will definitely not like the other one. He's the weirdest director. Also go back and listen to my episode on that. Hereditary.
There you go. Go check it out. Hereditary.
Well, listen, thanks again.
Thank you.
Everyone, thanks for joining us. And please, please follow me on the Instagram. Please send me requests, messages, hate mail. Just kidding. Anything that, any interest you have or any movie you want me to review, let me know. Even though it's been a weird time, there's still a lot of great movies out. So I will hopefully have a new movie next week or an old one, depending on who comes on. And I'll see you guys next time. Bye. Only love.